Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans. Fighting for America.
U.S. District Magistrate Judge Candy Dale now ruling the state must begin issuing licenses to same-sex couples.
This court has taken upon itself a radical attempt to redefine marriage.
Fighting for Idaho.
The first person I called was my mom, and she said, I'm so proud of you, Abby.
The United States Supreme Court is going to have to answer this question.
It is a good day.
They move to a place, they infest it like vermin, they change it, and then they destroy it, and then they move on and do it to the next place.
Fighting for you.
And you have your choice, folks. A cowboy, a curmudgeon, a biker, or a normal guy. Take your pick. Thank you very much. We're leaving it up to you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I don't want to get in trouble.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. We're joined by our great friend Brian Fisher to talk a little bit about what happened here in Idaho, what's happening across the country. Brian, it is awesome once again to have you with us. I was thinking of this decision, and I said, I wonder what Brian would talk about. I wonder how Brian would break this down, since you were so instrumental in what became of the Defense of Marriage Act, what defined marriage here in the Gem State. First of all, I guess we should say good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Well, I wish it were under better circumstances. Remember, Brian is the Director of Issues and Analysis for the American Family Association. He hosts a talk radio program, Focal Point, on American Family Radio. And, of course, the Idaho Values Coalition did so much great work here in the Gem State. We miss him. And we're here to talk about this decision. And, Brian, before we get to this, I just want to tell you what's really going on here. You wouldn't believe the news media coverage of this, where they're going to the Ada County Courthouse, and they're actually interviewing people that they were going to have additional staff on. There's going to be a party here at the State House, even though the Ninth Circuit, thankfully, came to our defense. And there is no interviews with the opposition. It is just all pro same-sex marriage agreement here in the Gem State. Are you shocked?
Well, not shocked at all. The media for a long time has been in the camp of the homosexual agenda, the homosexual lobby there. The agenda of the mainstream media, you know, is virtually the same as the agenda of the homosexual lobby. We saw that with the Michael Sam case, the drafty situation in the NFL. And I just have to say, Kevin, thank God for voices like yours in Idaho that are sort of the beacon of sanity and reason in the middle of all of that chaos and hyperbole.
Well, that's an honor, Brian. That's an honor coming from you. You know, there are so many questions, and you know people, they get in the way. So, first of all, your reaction to what happened, are you surprised?
Well, no, not surprised at all. You know, our judiciary right now is a runaway train. We have an executive branch that's a runaway train. You know, Ted Cruz listed 76 things that the president has done to either violate the law directly or to abuse his power. That's unconscionable. It's unconstitutional. It's un-American. He's out of control. Now we have a federal judiciary. This is the 12th time now, the 12th time where we've had a federal judge who has imposed his or her own view of the most fundamental institution and culture on an entire state against the will of its people. You know, this is unconstitutional, and it is un-American for a judge to arrogate to himself or herself this kind of power. I mean, she's like, I used this analogy the other day, it's like she's using her gavel, this Candy Dale, using her gavel like a sledgehammer and just pulverizes anything that is in her way. And, you know, the folks that worked on this marriage amendment, you know, I co-authored it. I worked with the other pro-family groups to shepherd this thing through the Idaho legislature, to lead the campaign so that people went to the polls in November and voted for this thing. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of sweat that goes into that, because it's not an easy thing to amend a state constitution, and it should not be an easy thing. State constitution is the supreme law of the state, just as the federal constitution is the supreme law of the land, and amending a state or federal constitution should not be an easy task. And in Idaho, it's done, but it does require a lot of work. And the first words in the Idaho Constitution, just like the federal Constitution, are "we the people of the state of Idaho, we the people of the United States." It does not say "we the judges." And the people of Idaho amended their Constitution in 2006. Everything was done exactly according to the constitutionally prescribed process. In other words, the people have spoken in Idaho, and it's just it's completely egregiously wrong. It's a horrible miscarriage of justice for one judge with a flick of her finger to crumple up our Constitution, that part of it, like it's a used sandwich wrapper, you know, and dump it in the wastebasket. It's just unconscionable. She just disenfranchised, you know, all the voters in Idaho. 63% of the voters in Idaho went to the polls. 63-37. That is a tsunami in electoral politics. They went to the polls and said, we want marriage defined exclusively in our state as the union of one man and one woman. And one lone federal judge has no constitutional right whatsoever to sweep that away. So it's a, you know, it's an unconscionable decision. It's un-American, and on top of all that, it is flatly unconstitutional. I'm looking at the Windsor decision right now, Kevin. Their wording from the Windsor decision, the DOMA decision in 2012, and no less than three times the Supreme Court explicitly says, the Supreme Court, even though they overturned DOMA at the federal level, the federal definition of marriage, three times they say quite explicitly that the power to define marriage in America rests with the states. Here's a quote. It's within the authority and realm of the separate states. We have deferred to state law policy with respect to domestic relationships. States possess the historic and essential authority to define the marital relation. So in other words, what this judge did, what Candy Dale did, is she defied the Supreme Court of the United States. So she not only trashed the Idaho Constitution, she not only trashed the federal Constitution, she defied the Supreme Court of the United States. So her ruling, in every sense of the word, is completely unconstitutional. You know, and that's why, you know, I feel the solution to this, Kevin, I think the solution to breaking this kind of federal tyranny from the judiciary is for a conservative governor, like Governor Otter, for instance, to stand up and say, look, I took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the state of Idaho and the Constitution of the United States of America. This judge is violating both of those sacred documents. I'm going to uphold my oath of office that I took before Almighty God to defend the Constitution of Idaho and the United States, and I am going to defy this judge's ruling. She can rule any way she wants. My oath is not to uphold her rulings, which is not a law. My oath is to uphold the Constitution, and I'm going to do it. I will not allow same-sex licenses to be issued in the state of Idaho. You know, we had a president one time that said to a Supreme Court justice who issued a ruling that he believed was unconstitutional, you know, Mr. Judge Marshall has issued his ruling, now let him enforce it. So that's what I'm hoping we'll see, is some governor with enough courage to do that, whether it's in Idaho with Governor Otter, Governor Perry in Texas, Governor Jindal in Louisiana, Governor Bryant in Mississippi. One of these governors needs to stand up and simply, you know, defy these out-of-control judges. You know, the founder said, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Benjamin Franklin wanted that on our national seal. Thomas Jefferson put it on his own personal seal. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Well, these judges are now tyrants in our culture, and it's time for a little rebellion against these judicial tyrants. And so I'm hoping Governor Otter will be the guy that will lead that constitutional rebellion.
Kevin Miller with our great friend Brian Fisher discussing this right now here at 580 KIDO. Now, Brian, I have to, you're going to love this. The local media here is, they're all at the state house getting ready for the party. If that's not promoting and taking sides, I don't know what is. Hey, we're live at the state house, everybody. We're gonna be here covering it. And then again, the story yesterday that, well, you know, the Ada County Courthouse is going to hire more people to handle the large, massive influx of same-sex couples getting marriage licenses. And I you know, Facebook's this out, I guess. Well, I guess we don't need the extra staff tomorrow. The media taking sides is tilting the public's agenda. This is Idaho, though, not California.
Well, you know, and I think back when we passed this amendment in 2006, you know, you didn't have the media going gaga and salivating at the mouth and slobbering all over this thing. This is historic. What a wonderful moment for the state of Idaho. You know, very hum-ho. They reported on it, but there was no sense of celebration whatsoever. So like you point out, Kevin, they're not objective any longer. They don't do journalism anymore. You know, they're nothing but PR hacks and flacks for the homosexual lobby, and it's really disgraceful. You know, so we, You know, we're really up against renegade judges. We're up against a renegade president, and now we're up against a renegade press.
Brian Fisher, can you describe the orchestrated campaign that's going on to redefine marriage in America? Just as we had conservative folks fearing what would happen, like yourself, many years ago, passing these things, using the Constitution as it was intended, as we saw with Prop 8, doing by anything necessary legally to make this happen. Now we're seeing, as you describe it, sir, the tyranny of the bench to undo the good works that you and Christians and conservatives have fought for.
Well, what's really absurd about this, and what is so un-American about all of this, is that the homosexual lobby is not even using the democratic process any longer. They've given up on that. And I think it's because, Kevin, they know that the American people are not with them on advancing homosexuality, the homosexual agenda. Most Americans look at it as sexually non-normative behavior. They don't want to see it enshrined in law. And the homosexual lobby knows that if they tried to go through the democratic process, they would not get anywhere. So they've abandoned that, and they're going directly to judges that they know will issue these tyrannical rulings against the will of the people. And that's not the job of a judge. The job of a judge is to be an umpire. His job is to apply the rules, not to change the rules, not to make the rules. You know, in baseball, you have a rules committee. In NFL, you got a rules committee. They make the rules. They reconsider them. They might change the rules from one year to the next. But there is no umpire in baseball that has the liberty to change the rules in the middle of a season. He doesn't have the authority or the right to make up new rules, to obliterate rules he doesn't happen to like, to selectively choose which rules he's going to enforce. An umpire that did that would be out of a job by the end of the first game where he tried that stunt. And yet judges are doing this day in and day out. And to me, it's a sign on the part of the homosexual lobby. It's basically an admission of defeat. They know that the American people are not with them, and the only way they can get their agenda further is through tyrannical judges who, as I said before, will swing their gavels like sledgehammers and pulverize constitutions and the will of the people.
Brian Fisher joining us. Brian, can you hang on for a minute?
You bet.
All right, more coming up with our great friend Brian Fisher. We'll continue to talk about the culture wars here in Idaho and America, and what it means that the Ninth Circuit has stopped the judge's decision. Where do we go from next? Where do we go to next? We'll talk to Brian Fisher about that coming up at 580 KIDO. It is 617. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Dark place we're going. The position of the Republican Party in Idaho is to support the traditional family.
We need to address the moral degradation that's going on in our nation.
I like to pray when they were in the closet.
Earning your trust every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank God it's
580 KIDO. Brian Fisher joining us once again. We always appreciate what Brian has done here. He's the director of issues analysis for American Family Association, also American Family Radio. He hosts the talk radio program Focal Point. And Brian, we take a look at nationally what's going on with the agenda here to, I guess, get rid of morals in America. It's come home to Idaho. Do you think that this will go to the Supreme Court and they will have to make finally a decision on this?
I think there's no question this thing is going to be headed to the Supreme Court. I think we're probably going to find at least one appeals court who will uphold a state constitution. So far, these decisions have all been made by lone, renegade, out-of-control judicial tyrants like Candy Dale. Now, a lot of these amendment challenges have migrated to appeals courts where you have a panel consisting of three judges who review the lower court's decision. I think we're going to have an appeals court who will uphold a state constitution. I certainly hope they will. I certainly hope they will issue a ruling that would be consistent with the state constitution and with the Supreme Court ruling, which said this is an issue for the states to decide. And if that happens to be the case, if you get a conflict on an issue of this significance, appeals court, one saying they're unconstitutional, another appeals court saying they are, that almost certainly will migrate then to the United States Supreme Court. You know, and it's going to be a crapshoot at the United States Supreme Court. You know, the Supreme Court just issued a ruling that Anthony Kennedy was a part of. Anthony Kennedy is going to be the swing vote again. That just shows you where we're at, Kevin. This is unconscionable. A marriage policy for 315 million people is going to be decided by one man, by Anthony Kennedy. That is the definition of a tyranny. That's a monarchy where one man is going to wind up dictating marriage policy for 315 million American people. That is not the form of government that the founders bequeathed to us. It's a shame that it would even come to that place. But Anthony Kennedy joined the majority ruling in the Michigan case. It had to do with an amendment to their state constitution banning racial preferences in college admissions and so forth. Said you can't do it in Michigan. And the Supreme Court upheld that because it was a constitutional amendment that was passed by the people of the state of Michigan. And the Supreme Court said, look, we don't have the right to second guess the wisdom and the decisions of the citizens of a state who have voted to amend their own constitution. It's not our job to second guess that, to reverse that, to undo that. So if there's any kind of consistency in their reasoning, and the problem is they're not, you never know what they're going to do. But if there's any kind of consistency with the Michigan amendment, with what they said in the Windsor thing, this is a state issue, then it ought to be a slam dunk. It ought to be 9-0 that we will uphold the state marriage amendments. But again, you know, we don't know. You know, and going back to how we got same-sex marriage in the first place, it was a state governor, in this case Governor Romney in Massachusetts. But the point here is you had a state governor who actually defied the law of his state, defied the Constitution, and imposed same-sex marriage on his state. You know, the Massachusetts Supreme Court said, look, the law is unconstitutional, and they instructed the legislature to fix it. The legislature did not do anything about it. So, I mean, you can go to the Massachusetts state law code today, and I've done it. You can read their domestic relations segment, and same-sex marriage is still against the law in the state of Massachusetts. So it was one governor who kind of imposed it by executive fiat on the state. He ordered county clerks to issue marriage licenses, even though the law in Massachusetts says clerks can only issue licenses consistent with the laws of the Commonwealth, not with the directions of the governor, not with the directions of the state Supreme Court. And so I think maybe a governor could be the one that could be in the process of reversing this. If a governor started us down this track, maybe a courageous governor can reverse field here and start moving us back toward a constitutional Republican form of government. You know, and I think the people of Idaho, one other thing, Kevin, I think the people of Idaho should be disappointed in their attorney general. Lawrence Wasdin did not even show up to defend this amendment in court. He agreed to let a magistrate decide this. This is the lowest level, lowest tier in the federal judiciary. So I think Lawrence Wasdin has some culpability here that he agreed to let a magistrate decide this instead of a judge who had been nominated by a president and evaluated and screened by the Senate. He agreed to that, and he sent a subordinate out to defend this thing in court. That is inexcusable. This is the Idaho Constitution, and I believe the people of Idaho were let down by their attorney general, who was AWOL, when he should have been front and center to defend, you know, the supreme law of the state of Idaho. So I think that's an important issue. You know, when you go back to amending the Constitution, one last thing, you go back to amending the Constitution, governors don't have a role in that. You know, the pro-family leaders wrote the Constitution. The legislature in Idaho voted over 75% of the House, over 75% of the Senate, 63% of the people of Idaho voted for it. The governor did not have a role in that. That's the way it's designed. But that shows you the overwhelming support natural marriage has in Idaho. Well, here's an opportunity for Governor Otter to be involved in this. He can discharge his duty. He can fulfill his oath of office by being the governor that takes the lead, sets the pace for America, and stands up against this out-of-control judicial tyranny.
You know, Brian, the reason why we have you on, and you have contributed so much to this state over the years and where you are now, is that you give us hope. Because when you hear the media, when you hear everywhere else, it's kind of like you're a lonely voice. But when we hear specifically what you're talking about and the steps that Governor Otter could take or someone else, it gives us hope. My concern, I'm trying to think of which president, you know, pointed Dale. You know, Tom Munns called me the other day and said, was she appointed by Governor Otter? No, it was a she's a federal judge, so it would be the it would be the president. But when you hear the language, and you've gone back to Windsor and you've studied Windsor, when you hear the language coming out of the Supreme Court that if you are a supporter of marriage, traditional marriage between a man and a woman, you're vilified. So they've already shown their bias, at least a few of the judges have, and that's concerning.
Well, the judges in the Supreme Court and the Doma decision said the only possible reason to be against same-sex marriage is that you're a bigot, that you've got animus and hatred in your heart support homosexuals. That's the only possible reason. Well, there are a lot of reasons, Kevin, and we've advanced them in the debate. You know, every society has the right to decide what forms of sexual expression are going to be approved. You know, we outlaw prostitution, we outlaw pedophilia, we outlaw prostitution because those are sexual expressions that we know are contrary to public policy. That's an appropriate role for the state. Also, we care about kids. We know from social research as well as history and common sense that the optimal nurturing environment for children is in a home where they are raised by a mom and a dad. That's a perfectly good reason to defend natural marriage. So there are all sorts of reasons that go beyond that that make support of natural marriage a good, sound, common-sense policy. It's not bigotry. It's good common-sense policy enacted by a society that cares about its children.
Brian Fisher, we wish you were here every day, sir.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's always good to be with you. And do I have 60 seconds to make one more comment, or are we out of time?
Brian, for you, you have 2 minutes. And if you could you throw in something about the power of prayer, sir?
Okay, I certainly will. You know, one important thing to understand this, I mentioned earlier that the homosexual lobby has given up on the democratic process. You know, I saw a story yesterday about how 43% of homosexuals now live in a state where they can get married. That's primarily by judicial fiat. If you look at the states where voters have actually gone to the polls and said, we want same-sex marriage in our state, that's 4 states that represents 4.5% of the American population. Now, I believe they have the right to decide that. That's what the 10th Amendment is all about. So if a state decides they want to have same-sex marriage, the voters decide that, then we accept that because that's how decisions are made. But that represents 4.5% of the American population. The other 95.5% of the American people live in states where the voters have decided that they want natural marriage preserved in their constitution. You know, and you're exactly right, Kevin. The ultimate hope here is God. God governs in the affairs of man. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. He's the one that governs in the affairs of man. He is the ultimate arbiter. He is the ultimate judge. There is no Supreme Court that is above him. He is the judge of the living and the dead, the judge of all the earth. And so if we bring our appeal to him, I believe God will hear and God will act if his people will send their prayers to him with one voice, united, ask for his intervention. I believe in his timing, he will do something in response to those prayers. Absolutely.
Brian Fisher, if people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
AFA.net is the place to go, AFA.net. My radio program is Focal Point. Folks can audio and video stream that at AFR for American Family Radio, AFR.net. It's 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time. Love to have people tune in. Also got a Focal Point. The name of my program is Focal Point. They can contact me through the Focal Point Facebook page.
Brian, take care. God bless, sir.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Take care. That's our great friend Brian Fisher joining us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO News.
A federal judge ruled Idaho's ban on same-sex marriage unconstitutional.
It is a good day.
She's like, I used this analogy the other day. It's like she's using her gavel, this Candy Dale, using her gavel like a sledgehammer.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And coming up, we'll have our friends with the Lightfoot Militia joining us. Sounds good in the 8 o'clock hour. In the 7 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour, Governor Otter, Walt Bays will join us. Walt from Emmett in studio. Pro-Life will be here as well. We've got an action-packed show today. Phone numbers here. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I want to thank Todd at Mountain Home Auto Ranch. Had a wonderful time out there yesterday. Mountain Home Auto Ranch has such a special place in my heart because when I was walking from Haley to Boise, that's where we stopped for a couple of days just to kind of rest and recuperate. And after you've been walking from Haley, that Walmart there reminded me of Times Square in New York, but I digress. I could go on and on about the phone numbers, but I have so much to tell you. And shame on me for not doing this. We should have taken the show on the road here and gone down to the State House and had our own party. You know what I'm saying, our own party, and we could have called it...
Ain't no plans with a man. This is the 80s, and I'm down with the ladies.
So we've got the major news outlets.
This ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
We've got even the Idaho news outlets now that are down there covering this party. Well, there's nothing to celebrate because the Ninth Circuit as you predicted, as I predicted, as Brian Fisher predicted, did the right thing and said, not so fast, my friends. And it's amazing how many people have rolled, like the local media. Have you noticed there is not one story about faith, family, and freedom in God-loving Idaho? Where is the story about the opposition, about this show, championing the values of men and women getting married? Not that we would expect any recognition from the media, but you talk about one-sided. It's all pro-same-sex marriage, as if it's legitimate in this state. It isn't until the Supreme Court rules on it, correct? And instead of being an objective news organization, any one of them, they've just drank the gay Kool-Aid. I mean, really. And when I see the governor, the first thing I'm going to say is, what about the gays? That's the first question. Now, we welcome your phone calls, but I have to tell you something else. Oh, you're going to love this one. So the other day, the fallout continuing over the Idaho debate debacle, as I write about on Facebook, or I'm sorry, on 580kido.com.
And I used to drive taxis in Boise for 20 years at night. And
you get the gist. So you've got all these folks on Facebook giving Idaho Public Television and the moderator kudos. And the moderator, who's, I think this is her first job in television, and God bless her, she seems like a nice lady, unfortunately trained by the mainstream media to make it about her, starts giving herself props about what a great job that they did. And, oh, they couldn't do anything because Governor Hunter made them. And then you had people going, oh, great job, great job, oh, great job, oh, it's the best ever. And I'm going, in what reality are they living in? So I decided to post on Melissa Davlin Devlin's Facebook, and I said, eh, I thought it was embarrassing. If the coverage was so good, why is everybody making fun of Idaho? And we always talk about these lofty journalistic positions. Me, I'm a ham and egger. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. And so here we have Idaho Public Television talking about how great they are in these wonderful debates, and the League of Women Voters and the Idaho Press Club. They should all turn in their junior journalistic badges, their Cub reporter cards. And so the moderator said, well, that's what the governor wanted. We wouldn't have any debates. I write about this, the Idaho debate debacle. It's a simple read from a simpleton. Then they should have said no. You know, we've all done debates in the past. I've done debates. You've done debates. Sometimes you just have to say no. It would have been better off not to have the debate, as opposed to what we're seeing, right? So based on my Facebook postings, oh, the loony libs went crazy on me. They started ripping the GOP, ripping Idaho's first radio station. We've got one guy, a media gadfly, calling me a Glenn Beck wannabe. And it's funny, I didn't attack any of them personally. Professionally, I pointed out that the debate was lousy. It was lousy. It was embarrassing. I felt bad for Dan Popke. I felt bad for Dan Popke. You know what I mean? And just, you know, so I went to our Twitter feed, and if you can check it out, at 580KIDO, they're ripping me, which is fine, but I, you know, it's funny. You talk about so many things, and you don't know if they're ever true, and yes, they are. We go to the phones. Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, 580KIDO. Good morning, Tom Munns.
Good morning, Kevin. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Man, I've been trying to get into you all week. I don't get my app wasn't working, and it's just a bad deal.
I'm telling you.
Now I get in my car, and I can't get the radio station. So, anyway, I miss you. I needed my Kay Millie fix this morning.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. So you're talking about the gay marriage deal, huh?
You know, we're talking about the gay marriage deal. We're talking to you about the libs attacking me because of the debate debacle. And I go, look, you didn't even, you guys did a lousy job. You didn't keep order. I mean, if Salon and everybody, and you know, so they attack me, and I'm going, dang.
Well, it's, you know.
Here's another one. Idaho Public Television producer, executive producer, said, confirms that they wouldn't have even had a debate unless they included Brown and Hayes at Otter's insistence. So don't blame them. They could have said no. I'm sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
Do you remember what I told you the other day about how the fact that this whole thing, I believe, was engineered to be able to meet a particular end, and it had something to do with Otter doing it? You know, this is everything that is done is carefully done on purpose. And there's a reason why all of this stuff is done. The problem is people are taking their eye off the ball, and it's working exactly the way whoever engineered this, I'm not going to mention any names, did this, is exactly what they wanted. Now, all you have to do is to put on your big boy pants and look at the two viable candidates that there are and to be able to justify and to be able to look at the seriousness of what they're saying. If you separate that, then the debate was worth it. Because of the fact, you could clearly, if I were to take an unopposed position and just look at the candidates and the way that they represented themselves and what they said, Fulcher was the clear winner. He had Otter literally chasing his tail. And he had Otter making statements that he just kept saying over and over again, which is usually a sign of agitation or frustration or whatever. The debate, in my opinion, was good because it showed the fact that Russ could take anything that was thrown at him against all of the opposition. We didn't even have media. We had leftist people, you know, obviously probing him, you know, and he had Otter chasing his tail. Yeah, Walt Bayes is a great guy. He's passionate. He knows the scripture. I love him. He doesn't have a chance to win, you know, and Brown, you know, he goes to my church. You know, I don't particularly care for his. He doesn't know much about the Constitution. He certainly doesn't know anything about scripture related to morality. You know, but the guy has passion. When you listen to him, you're fired up because he sounds like somebody that just wants to blow stuff up. But
exactly, Tom, I got to run. Thank you for the call. To traffic now, 580 KIDO.
And Hannity weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, the Lightfoot Militia. They'll be joining us. We're joined by our great friend Christy, who's here in studio. Talk about a wonderful cause this weekend at Geno's in Meridian. Christy, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So this is something that is very near and dear to your heart. It's something that should be getting a lot more headlines than it is. A little boy fighting for his life, a family fighting to keep him alive.
Most definitely, Kevin. That's why we're doing an event Sunday night, May 18th. It's going to be at 6 p.m. at Geno's in Meridian. All proceeds are going to go to the family and help Brady with his battle with cancer.
And what can people do?
Well, you know, Kevin, you can do two things. You can buy a ticket at that facebook.com/helpbradybeatcancer, or you can just make a donation. Either way, we're helping the family, but we've got awesome auction prizes or items to bid on Sunday night, and we hope that you can join us.
Well, when you take a look at this, why are you involved?
My son Gavin's 9. He goes to Prospect Elementary in Meridian in the 4th grade, and Brady is one of his classmates. I coach baseball, boys baseball, 9 to 10, and I look at those boys out there, and I think Brady needs to be out there with them. So let's make this happen and raise some money for the family.
And what about some of the great prizes? And it's wonderful that we have so many people that are taking their time, their efforts, their goods. We talked about it last week. Pretty impressive list, and A, it goes for a great cause, and B, you get a wonderful value.
Most definitely. We've got the auction packages, Jackson Hole weekend, Seattle weekend with Mariners tickets, Sun Valley. We've got an Eagle staycation, and we also got some more donations from local businesses like Heritage Reflections. They do American-made Amish furniture, all different local businesses. It's been amazing, the outpouring of support.
It really goes to show you that people can make a difference. How is the family holding up?
Kevin, I think the best that they can. I couldn't even imagine being in their shoes. I do know that Brady is responding to the steroids and radiation that they've been giving him, but obviously we still have a long fight here for this family.
And Christy, what can people do if they can't come to Geno's?
You know what, Kevin? I think in general we can have a bigger awareness of what we can do to improve our communities and taking that extra step to go above and beyond to change someone's life. Like I said, if you can't make it to Brady's event, you can sure make a donation online at the Help Brady Beat Cancer, and it's under Benefit for Brady on Facebook.
Benefit for Brady on Facebook. Geno's this weekend. We urge you to pray as well. Has this changed you at all? You're so known in the community for these causes and helping folks. Has it really impacted you at all? You've talked a little bit about your son's Little League games and everything else, but how has it affected you because you're in the moment here?
Kevin, I'm really passionate. When I commit to something, I am extremely passionate about it, and I give it 110%. I have a great team that I'm working with here. And I think it's important because when I first met Brady's dad, he said, you always think that it happens to somebody else and not you. And that's what everybody needs to think of, that it could be you. And wouldn't you like to know that if it does happen to you, that you have the support of your community behind you? And I think that that's mainly, you know, that's where my passion lies. If I can do one little thing to help out someone else, that's what I do.
And one more time, Benefit for Brady on Facebook. Christy, thank you. Quickly to traffic at 580KIDO. Hello, Dave. Oh, whoops, my mic was on. Did you hear that, Ray? Thank you for all you do. 59 in Star. It is Kevin Miller in the Morning. Coming up next, are we safe in Idaho? Remember, Benefit for Brady, the Lightfoot Militia joins us next.